Well, as Andy Williams would say, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But also, it's really the most confusing, especially today. Today, after we finish the part of the service, we're going to dedicate our stewardship pledges. So we're wrapping up our stewardship pledge time. However, stewardship pledge time goes on, and it's not over, but we're dedicating the pledges. Today is also the last Sunday of the Christian year, but the Christian year doesn't begin tomorrow. It begins next Sunday with the first Sunday in Advent, so Happy New Year, everybody, on the first Sunday of Advent. Hope you'll come and join us for the Hanging of the Green service. Today is also the Sunday that we celebrate Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is Thursday, so we don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving after the fact, and also that's the first Sunday of Advent, so we're doing Thanksgiving stuff today. There's just really so much going on. It also is Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the year, so we have this focus on Jesus, the reigning King of Kings, Prince of Peace for all people. Try to put it all together, and it's just confusing. Luckily for us, when we're confused, God is not. And God speaks to us in our confusion words of clarity and words of hope. This morning, as we turn to God's Word, I'm beginning a new series, actually for the whole year. A year with Jesus. And who knows, if we really like it and get going, we might keep going and do longer with Jesus. But He's going to be our focus. We're going to look over this year at the names for Jesus. We're going to look at temptations that Jesus faced. We're going to look at people that Jesus met, people like you and like me. We're going to look at stories that Jesus told. We're going to look at miracles that Jesus did. And we're going to look at those things that Jesus claimed to be and to do, and if they really happened. So to erase all the confusion on this Thanksgiving, Christ the King, end of stewardship, beginning of whatever Sunday, I want to go back to Isaiah 9, verses 6, which tell us something about who Jesus is by telling us some of those names for which Jesus is known, names by which He was called. And notice Isaiah has the names for the Messiah in four couplets. So here we go. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be on His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But when we think of these titles for Jesus, we typically, which is what I'm going to do, go with not the four couplets, but with the way that Handel broke it up when he wrote the Messiah. So we go with Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we make it five instead of four, because there's that big break between Wonderful Counselor. So that's what we're going to do as we look at these titles for Jesus. And each one is helpful for us to understand who He is and what He has done for us. So today we focus just on how wonderful Jesus truly is as we begin our journey into the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, hey, I've already set my Sirius XM radio. It's on holiday traditions. But if I get bored with holiday traditions, yes, there are 11 other holiday channels on Sirius radio that you can choose from. So you can have acoustics, you can have jazz, you can have soul, you can have country, you can have pop, you can have rock, you can have it all. We're already advertising for our Christmas caroling, which is a beautiful hayride around the neighborhood on the 19th. It's going to be lots of fun. Encourage you to come. It's not just for kids, it's for adults. We'll have a great time doing that. I've already been watching my Hallmark movies for Christmas. But it's not going to be Christmas until you start seeing the Charlie Brown Christmas special, that one special where, yes, they can still read the Bible as part of the story. My favorite one isn't on TV anymore. Found out about it when my kids were young. Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. It's a great movie. And then there's always the granddaddy at the mall. It's not Christmas until you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, right? What makes this time of year wonderful, though, isn't the music or the special movies or even the time we spend with family. It's remembering and celebrating God with us in Jesus. We need to stop and remember that the God who created this whole world, all things, heavens and earth, the stars, took on flesh to be with us and to redeem us. He was the only one who could redeem us because ultimately the person we have wronged with our selfishness and our pride and rejection is God. So the one we've rejected has to be the one that can offer us forgiveness. When we stop and reflect on who Jesus is, we begin to see how truly wonderful Jesus is and how great God's love for us is. Jesus is wonderful because the God of all creation decided to commune with that creation. God took on flesh. And God's love for us is miraculous. Consider the miraculous and wonderful things Jesus accomplished. He's wonderful because his birth is a miracle, born of a virgin, attested that he was the Christ by another baby in utero, fulfilling scriptures in terms of where he was born and where he came from. We read in the first part of Isaiah chapter 9 that God was going to do something wonderful and bless this place of Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. But Jesus the Messiah would also be born in Bethlehem. So all these prophecies of his birth begin to be fulfilled in Jesus. In fact, in the Old Testament, there are 300 prophecies of the first coming of the Messiah and 800 prophecies about his second coming. And that means that Jesus has already fulfilled 300 prophecies just in his birth, as well as those others that talk about his life and will fulfill completely in his second coming. 800 prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled. George Herron, a French mathematician, calculated that the odds of one person fulfilling 40 of these prophecies, 40 of these 800 prophecies, let's just do 40, that's a small percentage, was 1 to the power of 157, or 1 with 157 zeros after it. I don't even know how to count that high. I don't know what that number's called. I get lost after millions. You know, what comes next? Oh, yeah, billions. Yeah, and then it's trillions, and who knows what? Gazillions, gazillions. Who knows? 40 of those being fulfilled, crazy odds, but it's just to put it in perspective, because we can't think in terms of millions or billions. Your odds of the state lottery, 1 in 14 billion. Peter Ruckman did his calculations based on 60 of these being fulfilled, but with Ruckman, he had an additional criteria that of those 60, they had to be fulfilled by the person who claimed to be the Son of God, who died on Calvary on a tree, who rose on the third day. And if you fulfill those three and the additional 57 of the prophecies about the Messiah, that's 1 followed by 895 zeros, or 4 of these different slides up in the PowerPoint full of zeros. That's a lot of zeros. That tells us that Jesus is wonderful. He's amazing. No one fulfilled these prophecies that Jesus could fulfill. His teaching was wonderful. People went to hear him teach, and when they left, they said, "He doesn't teach like anybody else we've ever known. He teaches with authority, not like the teachers of the law that teach us stuff." That's amazing. He teaches with authority, and he taught with truth. I was struck when I was growing up by those two words, "Verily, verily, 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 I say to you." Jesus always prefaced his teaching with those words. In the modern English, it's "truly, truly." Sometimes it just says "truly," but it's "truly, truly." Because what he's saying is truth, truth. This is the truth. 103 times in the Gospels, Jesus says, "This is the truth. I'm speaking to you." He didn't teach like anybody else ever born. He also demonstrates God's power wonderfully. During this year, as we journey with Jesus, we will see how Jesus did some great miraculous things. He healed by touch. He would touch people that weren't supposed to be touchable. Nothing happened to him. He didn't get sick from touching them, and they were healed. He could heal with just a word without touching somebody. He could heal at a distance. There's accounts in Scripture, we'll look at them in this year coming up, where people came to him and said, "Let it happen." And the next town over, somebody got well. In addition to healing, Jesus forgave sins. No teacher forgives sins, because the Bible tells us that only God forgives sins. And Jesus claimed to be God, and that's why he could forgive sins. He brought physical healing, he brought spiritual healing, he brought forgiveness, he brought total healing to the people who came to him. His death, his resurrection was wonderful for us, not for him. For him it was gruesome and horrible. But imagine being the hero one day, people screaming, "Hosanna in the highest, hail to the Messiah, he who comes in the Son of David, yay, we're going to be okay. Hip, hip, hooray for Jesus." And hearing just a few days later, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We don't want him around here." Not for crimes he had done, but for your crimes and mine. His death is wonderful because it was for me. It was for you. For the forgiveness of our sins, he paid the price that we couldn't pay. He rose again to give us hope of new life, not in the future, some future as spirits when we die, but right now in the here and now as children of God in communion with each other and with God, our Father. As I've alluded to already, Jesus was the only person to rise again after claiming he would. At least three times in the Gospels, Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection. And if you want a second, I'll let you write them down. The first time that Jesus predicted his death and resurrection was after the feeding of the 5,000. The second time at his transfiguration. The third time as he was heading up for the Passover feast with his disciples. All three times he predicted his death and his resurrection. In the Gospel of John, it's not as explicit, but at Mary's anointing, he predicted his death and resurrection. As he was talking with his disciples, he said, "I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to come again. You can't go with me," because he was talking about his death and his resurrection. And as he prayed for God to give them the Holy Spirit, his high priestly prayer, he was talking about his death and his resurrection. So three times in all four Gospels, I know I said three times, but it's three times in all four Gospels, Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection. He's the only one who ever said, "I'm going to die and rise again," and has done it. That is evidence by over 500 people at one time after his death seeing Jesus. Now, this isn't 500 separate people seeing him. This is 500 people at one time that saw his death. There are a lot of individual accounts of people seeing Jesus by themselves or in small groups. The woman at the tomb, Jesus' own brother, the disciples several times in the upper room on the way to Emmaus by the sea in Galilee. But this is 500 at one time. Proof of Jesus' resurrection, that he's alive. That's why Isaiah, as he's prophesying about the coming Messiah, reminds us that Jesus is our living Savior. And he puts this in his prophecies just before the passage we read today. "When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Friends, we have a living Savior." And that living Savior calls us to discipleship. This Christ, the King Sunday, I'm asking you not just to commit to a stewardship drive, but I am asking you to do that, yeah, but I'm not just that. I'm asking you to respond to the call of Jesus in your life. I'm asking you to spend time with Jesus, getting to know better our living Lord. And as Christmas comes, as we begin to celebrate Advent, that time of preparation for the coming of Christmas, I'm asking you to remember what Christmas means. Christmas is made up of two words, Christ, which not only means Messiah, but it means our Lord, and Mass, which is a celebration. So Christmas really means a celebration of our Lord, the Christ. To celebrate Christ, to celebrate Christ's Lordship, to remember God's love revealed in the birth of a baby. How miraculous and how marvelous and how wonderful it truly is. So this Christmas, enjoy the songs, the specials, the lights. Remember, though, above all else, to celebrate our Lord. He who is the miracle of God incarnate, the Redeemer of the world. Truly, his name is wonderful. And if you know what, sing it with me as we wrap this up. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Amen.